Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Today we have a crazy entitled parent story about parents who always make their kids' pregnancies about them. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, feeling guilty for moving out of toxic family household, 10-year-old sibling might go to care because of me. 10 days ago, my mom asked for my bank card. I said no and tried to avoid arguments as much as I could. She was very persistent, so I offered cash, yet she still wasn't happy. She threatened to destroy and cut up my stuff as discipline if I didn't give her the card. Well, it did escalate. I was in my bedroom with my sibling when she came into the room with a kitchen knife. Long story short, she fought me for my phone because I was calling the police, whilst my brother took the knife and put it away in the kitchen. She told the police I went crazy and I'm the one with the knife. Luckily, the camera in my room recorded it all, so the police knew I was telling the truth. She got taken to a mental health hospital and is still living there. It's also important to mention that I've officially been a carer for her, and by proxy, a carer for my sibling. She has schizophrenia and refuses to take medicine, shower, or remotely anything that she should be doing. Our relationship is not the best, as she doesn't respect me and talks down to me like a little child. I'm in my late 20s, and she doesn't want me to work or even get married, despite meeting my partner about marriage. Point is, if I leave, I know carers will look after my mom. She's also capable of it herself, somewhat. She's just very reliant on me to do every single thing for her. Now the problem is, if I leave the home, my sibling won't be able to live at home and I can't take him with me. It's simply not an option. My older brother, on the other hand, is in a position to look after him. He's married with no kids, has 2 bedrooms. Since childhood, my relationship with my older brother has been horrible and abusive, verbally and physically. He's very manipulative, which is why I haven't told him I'm leaving yet. I'm sort of scared to because of the way he'll be. I have told my mom though, but I don't think it's even registered that I'm serious about leaving. If my older brother doesn't care for him, he'll go into the care system, and everyone would blame me. I feel so guilty and think it's easier for everyone if I stayed at home. I have a lot on my mind, so I think this is more collecting my thoughts and venting. If anyone has words of advice, I'd appreciate it. Hearing this story, I feel like OP just has to kind of take a step back and realize where things are. Obviously, it's not fair on them to give up their life or trying to pursue anything for themselves in order to be a parent for their sibling. If nobody else is there to care for the sibling and they have to go into the system, it's better than the alternative, and anybody else that cares enough to complain about OP being the reason they're in the system, honestly, I think you should just stop caring about their opinion to begin with. It sounds like they're only out there to drag you down into what's convenient for them. Chrysalee90 wrote, "Listen, if you can't take your brother, it's better for him to be in the system. Your mother and your brother are both a physical danger to this poor child. If people blame you, ask them where the heck they were in caring for him, or making sure you had a safe space to care for him. They don't get to blame you and do nothing to actually help you. You're doing the best you can. If you stay and your mother escalates, you'll be no good to your brother at all if she severely harmed or ended you. Even if he has to be in foster care for a bit, you're alive. You can work with child services to see him and ensure he's being cared for and keep a relationship with him. That is much more beneficial to him than you not being around anymore at all. Also, hi, I'm Steven, and if you guys enjoy crazy stories of entitled parents, why not hit those like and subscribe buttons down below? That said, our next story is, Dad expects me to text him, call him, and update him daily. Feel like I'm going crazy. Hi everyone, I, 25-year-old female, have read through a ton of similar posts on here, but wanted to write my own as I feel like I'm going crazy and need some external opinions. My parents divorced when I was 2, and my dad has always done his best to be in my life. My older brother and I used to love spending the day with him every Saturday. At some point, when I was around 12 years old, my older brother stopped coming. My mom and dad had some bad custody and child support fights early on, and my older brother sided with my mom. I tried to stay neutral to avoid hurting anyone. From there until college, I would visit my dad alone. He wasn't too pushy about texts or calls, but would always cross into overprotective. He would text me almost daily to check in, and on the few instances I forgot to answer, out at a friend's, fell asleep early, was sick, he would text my mom and demand to know that I was okay. A few times, my mom was asleep as well and didn't answer, and he called the police to my mom's house in the middle of the night. Our relationship started to get really bad right before college, and we were fighting all the time, but he always attributed it to being a hormonal teenager. I think it was because I was struggling for more independence. My first year of college, he lost his high-paying job and all his income. He had to move in with his mom, my grandma, to a different state where they still live together now. She is immunocompromised and he takes care of her, so they both have essentially not left the house since COVID. He is set on looking for virtual work and has been doing nothing but studying daily, sleeping weird hours, and applying for jobs for the last 5 years. Not even exaggerating, they don't do much else. I haven't seen either of them in 5 years, and he says he isn't ready for me to visit because he's ashamed of the situation. Our current schedule is as follows. We speak 2 times a week on a set day and time for 1 hour each. Both of these calls end up going way over an hour, and he guilts me when I try to wrap up, even though I have things to do around the house. Fitness classes, dinner to make, etc. During this call, I'm not allowed to walk, clean, cook, be outside, or do anything besides sit and listen. If he hears any noise in the background, he gets angry. When I try to push back on this, he says that I probably waste time on 100 other things and can set aside 2 hours, or more, a week to speak. We don't have much to talk about as I don't like to tell him about my life. He likes to debate or turn everything I mention to him into a negative or life lesson. I've been in an amazing relationship for almost a year that I haven't had the energy to tell him about because I know he's going to find a million things wrong with it. For example, he's a different religion, which is apparently the worst thing in the world, even though I'm not religious and neither are my boyfriend or dad. We talk about my job occasionally, but I'm not interested in climbing the corporate ladder or learning the games he wants me to play. He doesn't have anything happening in his life either, as all he does is study for open roles he finds. He usually spends our phone call talking about the mistakes he's made in life and about how I should avoid them, current events and politics, and things going on in the career world. I'm not really interested in the things he talks about and don't want to follow in his footsteps, so I mostly just stare at the wall, listen for an hour and a half, and try to sound interested. In addition to these calls, he also wants me to text him within 15 minutes of arriving to work, 2 days a week, different from the above days, and text him when I'm home from work before 6 p.m. If I'm running late, I have to call him and let him know. For reference, my commute is a safe and easy 20-minute ride. I also have to answer his daily nighttime check-in text asking me how things are going, if I have any questions, if I'm...
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Storytime is sponsored by BetterHelp. Nearly everyone at some point in their life will struggle with their mental health, whether that's something stressful at work, in a personal relationship, or something else. I know that I really struggled with anxiety in my early 20s, and therapy was a massive help for me. That's why I'm a massive fan of therapy, and today's sponsor, BetterHelp. If there is anything in your life, big or small, that is negatively affecting you, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. It's an online therapy service that, after finishing a small questionnaire, will match you with a licensed therapist, where you can book appointments that match up with your schedule at any place or any time. And if you feel like you're not bonding with your therapist, you can switch at any point for free. Also, therapy isn't just if you're struggling with mental health. If you're looking for guidance or ways to improve your social skills, life, or relationships, it's a great judgment-free way of doing that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/StorytimePod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/StorytimePod. Home, etc. within 30 minutes. I'm not on my phone often and missed responding on time to a few of them, which led to some really bad fights. We eventually settled on me texting him myself every night once I was home and not planning to leave. Lastly, he wants me to let him know if I go out on the weekends and text him when I'm home, which I think is fair. One important thing to note is when I first moved into my own place a couple years ago to be near work, he had very strict rules about where I had to live. Doorman, building with cameras, safe part of the city, etc. All reasonable, but expensive. I was doing well for myself, but couldn't afford those amenity buildings on my own. Think New York City, where you can find affordable apartments in okay areas on a decent entry-level salary, but not the amenity buildings in very nice areas. My dad agreed to cover the rest and did so for about a year and a half. A few months ago, right after I resigned for another year, he told me he ran out of money. I've been putting all the extra on my credit card, which he promises to pay back once he gets a job. I don't know when that will be, and of course will not be resigning unless things turn around, but am kind of stuck in this situation. I wish I could say that this is the only reason I want to keep the relationship with him. Money is not worth a bad mental state. I can't say that it doesn't make me anxious, but I could end our relationship and walk away with a few thousand in debt. The truth is that I feel bad for him, and he makes me feel guilty if I don't put him first. My parents are European, and he says it's a very American mentality to not put your family first. That I should want to call him often, and should feel bad if I know he's worrying about me. That I can text him to let him know that I'm okay and that I should. I've tried to ask that we cut back on communication and how much he relies on my responses, but he calls me selfish. For reference, I have an excellent relationship with my mom and her side of the family. I call her to chat almost daily, and we talk about all the things in her life and in mine. She knows and has met my boyfriend, and she has my location, so she always knows when I'm safe. She doesn't force anything on me and doesn't turn everything negative or into a lesson, so I love telling her about my life and keeping her updated. When I try to explain this to my dad, he basically insinuates that if my mom isn't checking in on me regularly, she just doesn't care. Even as I'm typing this, I can see that it's not healthy. Or is it? I don't know, I feel like I can't get an objective grasp on this. He says he's much better than most dads. Is this true? Is this a cultural thing? I just don't know what to do. I don't want to cut him off or end the relationship because he doesn't have anything else. No other close friends or family besides his mom. I love him a lot. The financial tide doesn't help. It's easy to suggest setting a hard boundary, but he always follows with, "So you're okay with knowing that I'm stressing out, and there's something you can do to fix it, but you won't." Do I just say yes? I feel like I can't do this forever. I hate being attached to my phone and constantly anxious. I'm reaching my breaking point. I really don't know what to do. Does anyone have a couple words of advice or confirmation either in support of my side or of my dad's side? Thank you in advance and sorry for the length. So quoting the, "So you're okay with knowing that I'm stressing out and there's something you can do to fix it but you won't?" That's something that honestly does not have a yes or no question. That is the definition of a loaded question. In my opinion, the answer to that is, respectfully, that's not my problem to worry about. You stressing out relentlessly over my average day-to-day life is not my problem to solve. Chenlin17 wrote, "As a European, no, it's not a European thing, and he is worse than most dads. He's a selfish bully and a terrible person, or at least someone who needs professional help. I don't know what you can do because he doesn't sound like he will ever expect any boundaries." Our next story is, for the people who went no contact with their abusive parents, how did you cope with it? I've already decided that once I've saved up enough money to move out, that I'm never contacting or going anywhere near my mom ever again. But even thinking about it makes me feel extremely freaking guilty and upset, even though I know it shouldn't. I have every right to hate her and not want to talk to her, yet I feel really sad for planning to abandon her. I don't even know where to start. Like, she's flat out a child in an adult body, and a big part of the reason I struggled with low self-esteem growing up. She's so angry and negative all the time, constantly yelling at and insulting me over stupid, insignificant things, always snoops through my belongings, doesn't respect my privacy, is a huge drama queen that acts like a Karen in public, has always put me down by trying to convince me I can't get a job or go to college, or be able to move out on my own. Relies on me for financial support, and complains when she has to do chores in the house, even though she doesn't work and I'm paying all the bills. Is homophobic, transphobic, racist, ableist, and whatever other ist or phobic you can think of. She basically just hates everybody. Physically and emotionally abused me when I was a kid, etc. She's so freaking miserable to be around, and I'm constantly on edge not knowing when she's suddenly going to barge into my room to call me brain dead or something. She also constantly guilt trips me by making comments about how she's going to be homeless soon when I move out, because I'm the sole breadwinner of the house right now, and will be extremely passive-aggressive and mean about it whenever I mention it. Yet, despite all this, I still feel bad. I could have saved up to move out years ago, I'm 23 right now, but I stayed because it made me feel too guilty to leave, and even though she put herself in this situation by not trying to support herself, I don't want to be the reason that she ends up homeless. It's not like she's always mean. I wouldn't feel bad if she didn't have her moments where she was actually sweet, and we got along with each other. But that's why it's hard for me not to feel guilty. I wish she was nice like that all the time. I just know that once I finally move out, it's going to be extremely hard for me to not feel like the biggest piece of crap in the world. How do other people do it? How do people who go no contact make it seem so easy? Personally, I feel like a lot of the people who finally go no contact are just mostly transfixed on the fact that they know it's for the best. Either that or a lot of people, they're just at the breaking point where they have no other option but to go no contact for their sanity's sake. I feel for OP because I know if I were in their situation, I would be doing the same thing. I feel like I've been raised and conditioned to try to be a people pleaser. Almost any situation where I'm proposed with something, it's hard for me to just say no. Even if it's something I outright wouldn't want to do, I feel like I'm so conditioned to at least give a maybe or a we'll see. I feel like it's still hard for me to even be definitive. The Missing Chair wrote, I had trouble with this when I first cut my mother out of my life for the abuse and narcissism. Went to therapy and everything. What helped me most is the realization that she was willing to allow me to sacrifice my life and happiness for the rest of my life in exchange for hers. And that selfishness is what helped me let go. Go very low contact and move out, stopped sending her hundreds of dollars, but stayed in touch to make sure she didn't literally end up homeless. She eventually found her way to live on her own without me. I was no longer willing to sacrifice an entire life of happiness for her selfishness when she is perfectly capable of finding a way to live on her own. Everyone's situation is different, and I know it's not all one size fits all. So I genuinely wish you the best in working through this situation. Our next story is, entitled Mother Gives Me a Panic Attack for Asking Her Kid to Stop Running. Posting here because I told a coworker I would. I work at a secondhand shop. We get a lot of people who come in with kids. Obviously, kids are gonna be in public, but more often than not, the kids are rowdy and use our store as a playground. This story is one of such kids and his mother, which happened a few hours ago. A boy, about 10-ish, was running up and down the aisle between our shoes and women's jackets. It's a kinda small aisle and usually the most busy, so I called out, "Hey, no running, please." 5 seconds later, he does it again. Thinking, maybe he didn't hear me, I said a little louder, "Buddy, no running, please."
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Enter our entitled mother. She comes out of seemingly nowhere. We have toppers that sit on top of the racks of clothes, most of which have pillows that make a clear view impossible, which was the case here. Entitled mother, while walking into view and yelling at me, said, "I've got it. Don't you see me talking to him?" I felt my face turn red. Embarrassment? And I muttered to no one in particular, "I didn't see her." Entitled mother was going on to the man shopping with her about trying to parent someone else's kid as she reached the register. Nice lady walked up to me, looking at the clothes I was fixing. She said, "You did nothing wrong. He was throwing stuff around back there." I started to tear up at her reinforcing that I was just doing my job. I grew up in an abusive house where I wasn't really told that I didn't deserve to be yelled at, so it's always refreshing when someone reminds me. Entitled mother yells, "If you have something to say, say it to me." The nice lady replied, "I was asking them about the color of the day." At this point, I began crying, the beginning stages of a panic attack seizing me as the two began to go back and forth. There were two ladies on the other side of the rack that I was working on who didn't speak English but tried to help by reaching out for my hand and reminding me to breathe. I heard a little bit of their exchange but was a little focused on trying to convince my body that air actually was entering my lungs. Nice lady walked over the same register as entitled mother, and the little bit I caught roughly goes, the nice lady says, "They're upset." Entitled mother replies, "I'm recording you, I'm recording you." From what my coworker later said, nice lady told him to call for one of our managers right out here. Nice lady returned to where I was and, rubbing my back, also tried to remind me to breathe. I was hyperventilating at this point, the worst panic attack I've had thus far. You know the old box TVs? The static that would appear on the glass after turning it off? Or just look on YouTube for TV static? That's what my hands felt like. I couldn't feel my legs and was sure that if I moved, I'd have fallen. They let me watch the cameras to explain everything to the managers later, and you can see how red my face was and how panicked my breathing was. My coworker finished ringing up the entitled mother and her family, and they left quickly. He appeared a few feet away from me, trying to see what he could do to help. Our manager did the same, having not been clued in yet. The nice lady to my manager said, "That lady needs to be banned." I'm not sure what exactly she said after that, because this was when I discovered that I was so deep in the panic attack that I couldn't even speak. I somehow managed to get out the words, "I'm having a panic attack." My coworker ended up helping me walk to the back and to the break room. He sat me in one of the chairs and stayed with me until I could talk. He even went to get my water from my own register. My hands were shaking like a leaf and my teeth started chattering as I tried to slow my breathing and compare stories with him. He went back out on the floor and I took a few minutes. I relayed everything that I caught and that my coworker had told me to both managers on duty, and the three of us watched the cameras where I gave them a kind of play-by-play. They don't have sound, just video. Everyone, managers, coworkers, and customers agreed that entitled mother was a biznatch and a grunt and should have been parenting her kid instead of letting him run around like a hooligan. Nice lady ended up leaving without buying anything because entitled mother made her so mad, which I feel bad about because I wanted to thank her. If anything else happens, like entitled mother getting banned, I'll update, but I doubt it. But hey, maybe I'll end up on a certain Reddit channel, which would be really cool. I don't know if the managers would be capable of doing such a thing, but in a situation like this, you need to have like a really nice customer discount, especially at a secondhand store. If somebody came in and was defending the workers from an entitled parent, somebody who was just going off like that, they absolutely deserve some like absolute homie discount. Shaylena wrote, "I'm so glad I don't usually get panic attacks. The one and only time was one day my manager asked me to go train in a store that was about an hour away, but the day before, I was training in another store and had a bit of an altercation with a pole. Yeah, a small fender bender, but for some reason, the thought of driving that far the next day just freaked me out. The traffic wasn't helping either, so I called my manager and he said I didn't have to go, so I went to my home store and worked there. Normally, I'm rather adventurous. And if I was in your position, I would probably have been fired because if someone talked to me like that, well, I can and will, with abandon, unless I'm tightly controlling myself, out-Karen any Karen who opens their mouth to me. It's probably why I don't have these stories. I beat them to the punch. Or they sense that they can't bully me and keep their traps shut. It's always people who respond badly that get bullied by these people, but I figured out as a child that bullies only understand one language, the one that they use to bully you. If they hit you, hit back. If they yell, yell back. And if they do anything that isn't nice, polite behavior, you reply in kind. And as for hitting them, if they do it first, you are in the clear. At least for the first hit back, because you hit back to keep them from hitting you again. If you go and beat the crap out of them, then you're in trouble. This next story is, my parents always make my pregnancies slash children about them. I'm a 28-year-old female, and currently am almost 9 weeks pregnant with my third baby. I live approximately 15 hours away from my parents and have minimal contact with them because they're so overbearing and entitled. This is going to be somewhat of a vent post because I'm dreading how they will be when the new baby arrives. It's due 3 days before my dad's birthday, and when he heard that, immediately it was all about him. With my first pregnancy, my parents were mad that they weren't told the baby's slash now small child's name before everyone else. It was the same day as everyone from close friends to in-laws to extended family. Everyone learned it at the same time, but no, they were mad and loved to bring it up constantly. If you check out my page, there are some disturbing stories about how they were when she, firstborn, was born. Second child, they were mad they were the last to know when I announced the pregnancy and his name. Essentially, if they aren't the first, they are the last. They are always competing with everyone we know, even if they are the people in closest proximity. They wanted to visit the month of his birth. I stood my ground and said no. Hissy fits and silent treatment followed. I have previous posts on that as well. Visits since then have been annoying, to say the least. They hijack an entire week of our lives. They also try to make my brother, who's in his 30s and still lives with them and is treated like a slave, clean my house without discussing it with me. I put an end to it right away. When I announced this third pregnancy, trust me, it was a surprise to everyone, including me, I decided to announce in a group chat, just so they can't argue they were the last to know. Well, they called me within minutes and did this whole fake cry routine about, why didn't you tell us yesterday? Can we just collectively facepalm? So now that they know what month and approximately the week the baby is due, they want to visit every year that month. I didn't even want to tell them, but I knew that they would get wind of it since a lot of our family still lives in the same state as them, and some aren't just good at keeping secrets, even though their hearts are in the right place. It's going to be fun saying no a lot more. We're visiting our home state in July and are carefully planning it so my parents don't hijack it. Wish us luck. I mean, the more OP kind of tries to dance around their behavior and not just outright shut it down, the more they're kind of enabling it. If they have a hissy fit about something and they go silent treatment, good. You probably should reply in kind with something like that until they come to their senses and ask for an apology, and until then, you know, you're not tolerating their childish behavior. Excellent Ad 1132 wrote, next time they start the hissy fit, tell them that the reason you do this is because they act like petulant two-year-olds. And you're already tired with dealing with three children and don't need to deal with two more who are old enough to know better, but obviously don't know any better. Add to that, if they keep this BS up, you might decide that having them in your life at all really isn't worth it, and you will cut them out of your life. It is time to set some serious boundaries with them. Our next story is girlfriend slash ex-girlfriend's controlling mother with newborn involved. Preface, my girlfriend and I are both 30 years old and have been together for over a year with a brand new baby that was born 2 months ago. I have three children of my own with an ex-wife that we've all been a happy blended family. My girlfriend, me, my three kids, and the new baby. Beginning of the signs, girlfriend's mother has always been very controlling of her life and knows ways to manipulate her with words, texts, phone calls, and mind games. When she got pregnant, her mom was always overbearing about how we should be raising the baby, which name to pick, always trying to get my girlfriend to stay at their house. My girlfriend has her own apartment that she pays for, but is constantly pressured to stay with her parents, and still treats her as if she's a teenager. Examples of this are that we both vape, nicotine, and her mom threw a freak out over this and blew up her phone about how she's ruined her life now and the baby's. Fast forward to the baby being born. It was supposed to be a special moment. Her mom, my mom, and I were in the delivery room with me by my girlfriend's side. When the baby was born, we asked for time to bond with the baby. Instead, her mom refused the requests and stayed at the hospital for the entirety of the time, giving neither my girlfriend or I time to be alone with the baby together. My girlfriend is very introverted and shy and is scared to ever stand up to her mom. We've always argued over me telling her to grow a backbone and set boundaries with her mom, as this is our child and this is our lives. That the only two people that know what's best for the baby is her and I, not her mom. Nail in the coffin. When it was time to leave the hospital, we went home with the new baby, and come to find out, her mom is planning to stay for weeks at my girlfriend's apartment with us. I had FMLA leave to spend this time with her and the baby. The first night home, her mom came into the room we were in at 5 a.m. and told us to turn off the TV. At this point, I couldn't hold back anymore. Long story short, I went off on her mom and told her to freak off and leave us be, and that she was an overbearing bench. I know this isn't the correct approach, but I just couldn't take it anymore. Her mom then told me that my kids were losers and that I'm a loser and that her daughter doesn't need me in her life. My girlfriend didn't say anything. She was just in shock. Didn't stand up to her mom at all. Her mom told me to leave and it was a huge argument. She called her husband, girlfriend's dad, to come over and threaten me. I ended up leaving. Month of withholding child. Girlfriend then said we can't be together anymore because I insulted her family and disrespected them. She went dark on me, and I wasn't able to see my newborn son now for a month. I couldn't believe it. We were super close, and she was nothing like her mother, but her parents are so good at brainwashing her that she believed every word they said. Finally, she began sneaking over to my house when I had my kids for the week, or sneaking me over to her apartment when I didn't have my kids for the week. Her apartment is too small for my kids. Her mother would drive by to see if my car was ever there and vice versa to see if her car was ever at my place. She finally found out, and I told my girlfriend that she needed to set boundaries and that this was overbearing and controlling, reminding her that she's a 30-year-old adult and should be able to live her life as she should. Current situation / present time. She told her parents that she sees me, but that we aren't together. Although we sleep in the same bed, are romantic, and still sleep with each other. Since she told her parents that, she began letting me see my son less and less. Two nights a week if I'm lucky. My kids are always asking where she and the baby are because they love them to death and haven't gotten to see their new brother that often like we planned. Each time she goes to her parents, they instill new brainwashing techniques on her. Because one night we'll be together having a great time taking care of the baby and bonding. Then, after she sees her parents, she seems to have a firewall put up where she says, "We can't stay the night with each other, we should leave at 11 p.m. now." She admitted this is all things that her mother is making her do, and that basically she must abide by what they say. They have nothing being held over her other than watching the baby while we both work. I've told her a million different ways how this is super controlling of her mother, and that if she loves me, then she should stop letting her mom control her like this. This always turns into a fight because she doesn't know how to confront her mom. I've tried telling her that she holds more power than she thinks she does. For example, she could bluff and tell her parents to stop controlling her and how she lives by saying that they will no longer be allowed to see the baby anymore. She always seems to enjoy being with me, cuddling, talking about how she loves me, and how I destroyed everything because now her family doesn't like me, and that we have to say that we aren't together anymore. That I almost feel she believes this, and that we're just co-parenting. I'm at a loss of what to do. I can't make her see reason that she's being controlled and manipulated with these evil, sick texts and calls from her mom. It feels like she's brainwashed and doesn't want to cut ties with her mom or her family, or set boundaries and is going with whatever they say. I've tried to detach myself from her, saying I can't be with someone who's under this control. But if there was some way to make her realize that her mom is freaked up, then maybe we could finally raise this baby together instead of her mom believing that this is her mom's baby and not ours. Any suggestions? If it comes from me, it comes off as disrespecting her family, and she punishes me and my kids by keeping them away. When it comes from her mom, it's like gospel. I could take her to court, but her parents are rich and I don't have money for a lawyer. My child is being withheld and her mind is constantly changing on if she's supposed to follow her heart and be with me, letting me have time as father of our baby, Or is she supposed to just stay away from me and raise the baby with her parents in her sheltered life with no friends? What do I do? Personally, I think Gopi needs to be prepared for both sides. One, this might just straight up get nasty and is something that ends up in courts, unfortunately. I would say be prepared for that reality, and once you're prepared for that, that's when you go to her and lay it out as you see it and make it clear that something has to change. Either she embraces you and your kind of family, or she accepts the parents' beliefs that they're trying to instill in her that OP's nothing but trouble and not a good father, blah blah blah, and that this is just going to have to go to court or something like that if you keep denying him his child. I mean, really, is there a middle ground between these two things to find? But with that being said, that's all the time we have for today. Now, if you want to hear another absolutely crazy entitled parent story, check out that video on the left. Or if you missed my latest video, check out that video on the right. That said, I'll see you all next time with some more stories.